Blog Talk Radio.
Of all belief systems is to dissolve any imagined deprivation. Emptiness is the beginning of fullness as we open to receive the blessings of eternity. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Belvaspital World Radio. We are your hosts. I'm Denise, joined by our beautiful sister Malou. Hello, Malou.
Hello, Denise.
Welcome. So wonderful to have you back with us.
Oh, thank you. It's nice to be here again.
Yeah, we've missed you. So how are you doing, Malou?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing better, definitely. It's taken quite a while for me to get over this, maybe not the surgery, you know, itself, more the anesthetic, I would say. It took me at least a week to sort of get out of the dizziness. And so I'm getting better every day. So that's nice.
Yeah, that's good. Good. We're happy. So, Malou, I can imagine having, like, for someone like yourself, being very sensitive. How was the experience of the procedure, the anesthetic,
I know from before that I react a little bit strange to anesthetic, you know, like when you have local anesthetic,
yeah,
or you have tooth pain or whatever, you know, I've tried that a million times, you know, with local anesthetic, and it just doesn't work, you know, I have to get extra, you know, and I have to sit and wait, twice as long as everyone else, you know, before it sort of kicks in. And so I'm sort of used to that. So, but this surgery I just had was in full, anesthetic,
mm-hmm.
anesthesia, or how do you say?
Yeah.
So I was totally unconscious. But what I did was, you know, because when I was going into the operating room, I knew I was okay. Here's my physical body. I'm gonna have this procedure done, and yeah, I was sort of also aware of my higher self or higher bodies.
Wow.
I called in the angels, all the Belvaspital angels. I called them in and asked them to be around all the people performing this procedure on me and be with myself. And you know, I wanted to join them and merge with them. And so that was really nice to sort of go to sleep with that sense of the angels being around me, because they were there. They've been there the whole time. I just wanted to feel it more, you know. And then afterwards, I called them again to ask them to sort of ease the pain and ease the transition into normal daily consciousness so I'm sure that helped. That's how what it felt like, because the pain was not as bad as I expected, fortunately. But for a week, at least, I was completely beside myself, especially the first couple of days. I was sleeping the whole time, and I couldn't, you know, walk straight. I was dizzy, and I was just really just really affected by the anesthetic. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's because it shuts down all the subtle feels, and it disturbs them. and you know, and it just takes a while for me to get back online, kind of.
Right.
Some people, they it takes a day, and then they're fresh, then they're fine. You know, I'm not. It just takes a long time. So, and now it's been 2 weeks, and or how long? Yeah, it's been a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And I'm still not sort of back into the game yet. I'm still sort of not completely clear. So it I think that's because maybe I'm so sensitive.
Yeah, I think so. I feel that.
Do
you have any memory of, like, when you were, you know, unconscious or when you're in your anesthetic mode, did you have any memories in there?
No,
you have any?
Not at all. No. Not at all.
It's interesting because, I mean, you know, I knew you were going through that experience and having surgery and, you know, dealing with that. Do you think it has something, having the experience that you had, do you feel like maybe it was a coming together of the body and soul, like clearing something there for the body and soul to come online?
Actually, yes, I think so. Because when the physical is put out like that, and also it does, of course, affect all the other bodily fields as well, but you get to merge completely, I suppose.
Yeah.
With the soul, because the body is put down completely. And so for some reason it feels to me like a preparation of some kind of work that I've been doing while I was unconscious.
Right.
Yeah. So, but I can't say I feel different. I just feel off. I feel like the dizziness is sort of has left, but I'm feeling I can't even put it into words. There's something going on. Yeah. Feels like a preparation phase.
Yeah. That's interesting because we were going to talk about the wounds, and you know, part of working with the wounds is merging the body and soul and moving into resurrection, right? Going beyond oneness into a more evolved state, I guess.
Yeah.
Because when you were going through that in the last 2 weeks, because we haven't talked, I had an experience where, you know, I shared it with you, and you said I should share it on the show for our listeners.
Yes.
So I'll try and be concise, but a good he was a friend of mine, one of Almeen's students in Ireland, who I'm sure many know. Our brother Gabby passed away in January, just before we went on the cruise. And, you know, I've kind of, you know, thought about him now and again, you know, okay, like he was such a God being, you know, and I've often wondered, where do you go as a God being who passes and, you know, leaves the physical earth? Where do you go? What is, you know, what's your experience? So I kind of, you know, have that thought, but I hadn't really gotten an answer from him. But I had, I had a feeling that he's been around me and he wants to tell me something, but I haven't been able to interpret the message from him. And normally I'm quite, you know, I'm good at that, connecting to, you know, the soul messages. But I just wasn't getting it. I could not discern what he was trying to tell me. So I decided going into the dream time that I would connect with him and, you know, ask him, like, what was it he was trying to tell me. Maybe I could get it in the dream time. And so I fell asleep, and sure enough, he shows in the dream time. Now, and it was very real for me. Like I had to think, am I dreaming? Am I awake? But I felt like I was in another reality completely. Mm-hmm. But I saw him. There was a window, and I was looking through the window, and I saw Gabby. And what he showed me was, and, you know, he was just oozing joy and happiness and peace, and, like, he seemed really in a good place. But what he showed me was, so I saw him, and then he showed me another man that he was with, too, who was very much like him. He kind of looked very like him, only he was taller. And, you know, he was, like, showing me how much in love he was, how happy he was. He finally felt home, and, you know, he was in a good place. So I'm like, okay, that's great. You know, I'm happy. He's, you know, finally found someone who he loves and who loves him, and it's good. But it was still... When I woke up the next day, I felt like there's more to this, because it was too real. It was too vivid. I felt there's something I'm not getting. So later that evening, I met one of our brothers here from our Toronto pod. And we met down at the lake, and, you know, we're chatting as we do, what's happening in, you know, the cosmos, what's happening with, you know, in our environments, what are we experiencing, like, great, just chatting. And so I asked him, I said, oh, here, help me interpret this message, what's your take on it? And, you know, as soon as I, you know, said that, told him about the dream, immediately we felt Gabby was there with us at the picnic bench. And, you know, he said, oh, you know, he wants to talk to Denise. And I'm like, yes, I know. What's he trying to tell us? So we interpreted to, you know, just having a dialogue, that Gabby was telling us that soul world and the physical world had merged. They had come together in harmony. And as soon as we got that, like, we were both covered in chills. The whole environment around us, there was the lake, the sky, it was the clouds, it was like everything looked like, you couldn't tell, you know, where did the lake end, where did the sky start. It was like everything had completely changed, like instantly completely changed, and, you know, kind of became one. So we were like, wow, this is so amazing. This is happening. And, like, it felt like the earth was, you know, had changed. And then... You know, a few days later, we had been doing some work in the house, and Jim was installing a new patio door, but we got the wrong size. So he had to take, like, he completely removed the old door, this big opening, this big gap. We taken out the door, went to put in the new door, it doesn't fit. So he had to go back to the store, take the door. But anyways, he was gone for like 2 hours. And I'm sitting here, you know, thankfully it was a gorgeous evening. I'm looking out into the garden, and I'm talking to a friend of mine, and I'm saying, oh, you know, I'm sitting here with no door, looking out, and it's so pretty. And she's like, oh, there's no separation between the inner and the outer anymore. And I'm like, oh my God, that was the message from, you know, a few days ago. And I think, there's something to that, something shifting and happening. And I really think it's, you know, all the work that we're doing with the runes, as you said, we're preparing to, you know, to incorporate the runes. And it really is, I feel, moving us into, you know, more harmonious existence. I really feel that.
Yes, I do too.
Yeah. So for, you know, and I was saying to Malou, we won't have a show next week because next week we are, well, I'll be at the Ohio event for the rune initiations. So, and you know, Malou, I know you haven't had a chance yet, but I was listening to the audio recording that came out on this week's newsletter with Ellen and Sergey and Rahir. And one of the questions somebody asked was about how the runes changes your life or how it changes you. And, you know, I was thinking about that because we had the runes mastery initiation at the cruise. And, you know, as soon as you connect with the sacred contract, I immediately felt changed. In like within me, I was, wow, something huge has really changed here. And
Denise, may I ask you, what do you mean by connecting with the sacred contract?
So
to the runes.
Part of the initiation for mastery level is, and I don't know if this is just the runes in general or it's just mastery. I'm thinking it's probably for both, for mastery and grand mastery. There's a sacred contract that you agree to before you're initiated. So, and it's, you know, it's been in, basically, you know, you're taking full responsibility for you're creating with the infinite and fully aligned with the infinite intent. It's so profound. Yeah. And, you know, maybe we'll be able to share it on, you know, the next time we talk. But it's like, you know, Amin talks about spiritual maturity.
Mm-hmm.
It's really stepping into that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you felt the change immediately when you agreed to that contract? Mm-hmm.
Yes. And since then, like, you know, since I've come away from that, and I mean, I work with the runes every day, I have to say my life has become very graceful. I mean, it was graceful before, but it's different. Like, I'm very, very aware of what I'm creating and how I'm creating it. I'm very aware of the consequences of my actions. It's like I have a super heightened sense of that. And it's almost like things manifest, you know, instantly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you shortened or even deleted the gap between space and time. Is that also what happens?
Very shortened, yes.
Yeah.
I don't think I've completely deleted it yet. But, you know, Definitely shortened the gap. Yeah. So
can you give us an example of that, of where you have, if you have that consciously, manifested something or wanted to something to happen, and then it did or did not, or
actually I will about a month ago. Jim is coming home and he's tired from work and he's kind of a little grumpy and he's really not enjoying his work. But of course the money is so good and he's has so much experience. You know, he's not really motivated to look for a new job. So, he's talking about, everybody gets laid off and, I never do. Why won't they offer me a package? And I'm like, well, honey, if you really want that, you can manifest that. Mm-hmm. Why not? We can, create a whole new adventure. Why not?
Yeah.
So, 2 weeks ago we manifested that.
Oh, really? Did he get paid off?
He did, yeah. And honestly, Malou, this is like Jim has been, in telecommunications for like 40 years. And anyone who is in that field knows, it's very stable, they change a lot and there's always layoffs. He's never once in his entire career been laid off.
Okay, that was amazing.
But yeah, he manifested this, so it's great. I mean, we're looking at it. It's a new adventure, and it's going to be amazing and positive and a benefit. And so that's one example.
And that's a pretty big one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even for yourself. As such, it was Jim.
Yes, yeah.
So
that's, yeah.
You definitely created that field.
Yes.
For this to happen.
Yeah. So I'm finding things like that. Like someone was going to Ohio for the runes next week, and didn't have a roommate, and I'm like, let's manifest one for you. That's easy. The next day, someone contacts me. Oh, Denise, do you know anyone looking for a roommate? Yes, I do.
Yeah.
There you go. So yeah, now she, it's great because she doesn't have to rent the car. She's, it's saving. They're both saving money, and they have, they're sharing a room. So yeah, it's like, it's. Yeah, things like that. There's a lot of that.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. But I don't have the Book of Runes yet. I'm waiting till next week to get it, and I'm so excited. But you got yours, Malou.
Yeah, I just got it. Yeah.
Yeah. Can you share something from it? Can you...
Yeah, I suppose I could. It's very powerful. It's definitely a different energy to it. Of course it is, but I could definitely feel the different energy. Compared to Book of Spells.
Yeah.
So it's very powerful. I could feel my, my hands when I touched it. I unwrapped it. I could feel my hands. Tickling. I could feel the energy running. I felt I connected with already there. I thought, okay, I'm going to make a little mini ceremony and sort of just welcome the book and I didn't, maybe I did. For some reason, it was just sort of, there it is. And I connected with it right away.
Oh.
It's really nice.
That's lovely.
Sitting in my bed to where I sleep and then under my bed.
Yeah.
I look really forward to starting working more with the runes,
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so what should I share? I mean, it's there's some different, the first pages of the book is sort of some background information.
Okay.
About how you evolve into higher consciousness, you know, the metamorphosis of the chakra system, some insights you need to sort of get and things like that.
Is that similar to what's in Journey to the Heart of God, like the about the different stages of evolution of consciousness?
No, it's actually a bit different. There are some... let me just check because I can't remember it. Okay, please hang on a second. The chakra system. I mean, it's been distorted. The chakra system has been distorted, mm-hmm. and they haven't really communicated together. The different chakras, right?
Yeah.
And she explains, you know, what happened and how the debris in the different chakras has blocked them and blocked their functions and has prohibited information to be downloaded from the environment and also from the inner world and to be broadcast out through the chakras, right?
Right.
So she talks about that. And then she talks about the common language of the chakras, which is... self-responsibilities. So there are seven of them, seven tones of self-responsibility.
Oh, can you read those?
Yeah, I was thinking that. I could read that because they speak different languages. Each, they're the seven main chakras, they speak different languages. And they can't communicate together. Only the sixth chakra and the seventh chakra, because they're so close together and they have sort of picked up the whole communication thing from all the other chakras.
Oh, that's... I remember this from our retreat.
Yes, I remember it too.
Yeah. When
she was talking about it in Genk in May. She was also talking about it in August in Copenhagen. And I remember that. And I remember also, because this was right after, you know, that major plane crash in... Where was it? You know, in the...
Yes, disappeared or something.
Yeah, it disappeared. And people have been wondering where it is, you know, and things like that. And she says it's on the bottom of the ocean. And what happened, what that was telling us, was that because in the water, there's actually layers of water that has different... not density, but, well, maybe it's density, because when the light goes through there, it shifts, you know, mm-hmm. according to these layers of water. And so this plane means perception, it's mental, it's, you know, it's how you perceive things.
Right.
And so the black box is the only, you know, that was also on the bottom of the ocean, right?
Yeah.
And the black box is the only communication that can be transmitted through all these layers of water because it's frequency based. So frequency can go through all these layers, but light cannot without it being distorted. And so this relates to the seven chakras and how the membranes between them have turned into matrices. So the difference between a matrix and a membrane is that a matrix is actually a membrane that has solidified because of belief systems that have stuck to it, kind of. So these layers of water represent the different chakras.
Interesting.
So it was the frequency that can go through there, but not the light. The light cannot go through these membranes. That's why the chakras could not communicate together. So, but with this new element of the God element, mm-hmm. the lumen, what's it called? Tonal luminosity,
right,
consists of light and frequency, right? It's merged together. It's light and frequency. And so this is the only component that can go through the whole chakra system because of the frequency component. Because the frequency component of the tonal luminosity is the one that carries it through.
Amazing.
Yeah. And so she explained all this about the heart and how information is coming through this chakras and download it into the blood that circles around in the body and leaves imprints, you know, in the heart and circles around up to the pineal gland and gives the mental imprint from there back into the heart and things like that. So it's really interesting.
So it, you know what's interesting, Malu? The way we communicate then would change, right? Like, you know, for someone like, you know, yourself or anyone who's clairvoyant, or it would explain why, you know, it's hard then to see clearly, or, you know, there's, I don't know if you've experienced this, but, you know, like having fuzzy vision or something.
If we're
changing the way we, you know, these fields communicate.
Yes, yes. I started experiencing a major change a few years ago, mm-hmm. because I'm also clairvoyant and have seen things, you know, but that sort of changed.
Yeah.
So I don't feel as much anymore. I just sort of know it.
Yeah, more effortless knowing, right?
Yeah, it's more effortless knowing. Definitely. And sometimes I'm searching for it. You know, I'm sitting there, and I ask, and I try and get, I actually know. You know, why do I even bother? I'm waiting for something, you know, because that's obviously how it used to work, but it doesn't work like that anymore.
It really doesn't. I know. Thank you for saying that, because, I totally... And you know what? It requires more trust, I think.
Yes, it does.
In letting that old way of, you know, or being able to predict, it's like, forget it. You know, it can only...
Yes, that's a lot harder.
Yes.
And also trusting that you actually access the information instantly, you know, and it's not something outside of yourself.
Yeah.
It's just a totally different way of accessing things, I think.
Yes, definitely.
But also, I mean, she talked about how the pineal gland is, you know, when it receives information and it's interpreted by the brain.
Right.
That's how you psychics especially, you know, they get the information, but it inverts the images. Because it's like an eye, it's like an, you know, has the optical nerves of an eye, and the brain is used to inverting the images that come through the eyes, and so it does the same with the images that the pineal gland gets.
Yeah.
So it inverts the images, which means that's what Amin says, that it oftentimes the images or the information is distorted or even reversed. And so many psychics, they can get the information, but they can't interpret it well. So that's a major pitfall, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
And I suspect that that would lessen, and that would be a lot more, that the information would flow more easily. I mean, whether you're psychic or not, you know, it would just flow more easily, and it would be more correct information, I suppose, or you would... You know, what is what you get, or when the chakra system evolves, I mean, you know.
Yeah, when it's one unified field.
Yeah.
And
also you will get the information from all the other chakras. And a lot of, you know, in the literature throughout the ages, in the New Age literature especially, you know, a lot of emphasis has been put on the top chakras, you know, the crown chakra, the pineal gland chakra, the third eye. That's as if that's the best information you get from those chakras, or the only one, or the most spiritual ones, or, you know, open your third eye chakra, open your crown. You know, you can get information from your, you know, solar plexus, from your, the bottom one, what's that called?
Yeah, the root. Yeah.
The root chakra, yes, you know, or the second one, the sacral, how do you say in English?
Yeah, sacral.
The sacral chakra, which is the magical world, the hidden kingdoms, which I absolutely love.
Me too.
Yeah, and I think once we learn to access it more and have them purified and, you know, have the debris released.
Yeah.
And then we'll be able to shift more between the dimensions.
Yeah.
And between the fields.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think it has a lot of... exciting.
It is exciting. So can you read the
Common language of the chakras?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Yes. So there are seven tones of self-responsibility that we need to sort of live. Okay, so the first one is choose your focus wisely. For to focus on the positive because you value it more accentuates the negative. Yeah. So being aware, I suppose, of where you put your energy. And many light workers, I feel, have this tendency to sort of negate the negative or just overly, you know, emphasize the positive and only focus on that because you need to, you know, empower the positive, which is true, I suppose, but it just has the opposite effect.
Yeah. I think it's how I also feel, though, is to do with not resisting, you know, because sometimes, like, if someone's so negative or, you know, it's a negative environment, it's dense, we tend to resist it.
Yes.
And not to have a resistance, but, you know, to hold the highest vision of it, maybe, that your focus is... like you're not disacknowledging it, but somehow shifting your focus to a higher reality will elevate it too. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but
I agree. And also, you're doing it not because you value it more, but just because, or value it more than the so-called negative, but just because you prefer that maybe experience or just choose to put the flashlight there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I think that's the value and the judgment is the big discernment here, the key. Yeah, yes. The key to this.
Yeah.
Okay, so tone number two says, we forfeit the sovereignty of self-responsibility when we abandon the self to fix the environment. We serve life best when we are home for ourselves.
Mm. I love that.
Mm.
Because it's true. Whatever we're seeing outside that we don't like, we change it within.
Mm.
It changes without.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And again, it's being fully aware of, you know, our choices and what we're creating, and, you know, just being taken responsibility if there's something we don't like or something we do like, you know, take responsibility for it, not to be blaming others or circumstances.
Exactly. Tone three.
Yep.
Cultivate the perspective of appreciating ever renewed unfolding existence. Yes. So the ever renewed unfolding existence, that nothing stays the same. We're in the middle of the river where everything is new all the time. So nothing can happen twice. Like my father said, I can't remember who said that, but my father reminded me, you cannot bathe in the same river twice.
Yeah.
I don't know who said that, but that's true.
It's true, because it's always fresh water. It's always different.
Yeah. I think that's what, you know, that's how I remember, you know, how I remember it, you know.
Yeah.
Keep seeing things as fluid and not stagnant.
Yeah. And to appreciate.
Yes, yes.
The newness in the moment, to appreciate that.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah, number four. Exercise self-disciplined spontaneity of being the observer and the observed. Exercise self-disciplined spontaneity of being the observer and the observed. That's a bit interesting. How can you be spontaneous in being the observer and the observed?
Yeah, that one's
that's a tricky one, isn't it?
So it is.
How do you see that, Denise?
I have to really sit with that one.
Yeah, I don't know. I actually don't know what it means.
Well, being the observer and observing is, you know, I understand that, how we do that. You know, it's like that's the eternal perspective, right? Even though we're observing life, we're participating at the same time. But, yeah, being self-disciplined,
spontaneity. Okay, so it's like, maybe it's like, okay, so you can do something spontaneously, while at the same time knowing that you can be disciplined about it, or you can set some structure or some.
Yeah, I think that's what it like.
Standards, or you know, it's within these limits, or it's just for today, or whatever. So it's like you can be spontaneous within a certain structure.
Yes. That's good, Malou. Yeah, so it's like having your structure and flow.
Yeah, at the same time. I guess that's with the masculine and feminine, right?
Yes.
At the same time.
Yeah, so. At the same time. That's one for Almeen to explain to us.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay, so the number five, tone number five. Create the chosen reality of elevated living through courageously expressing your evolving highest truth.
Oh, I like that.
I love that one.
Yeah, I love that one.
So, number six, the uncluttered clarity of mind comes through emotional self-fulfillment of the heart. So the uncluttered clarity of mind comes through the emotional self-fulfillment of the heart.
So is that saying, you know, when we take time to nurture ourselves, to do, you know, to live joyfully, happily, you know, doing things that, I guess, living fully, that I'm like fully present in the moment, there's clarity in that without.
Yes, I think the mind sort of, I see it a little bit like water.
Yeah.
You know, there can be muddy water or, it, you know, with high waves, you know, perhaps, you know.
Right.
But when you live through the heart or you like you said, you're present with yourself, you're in the moment, and you listen to your heart and let that guide you, the waves will calm down, the water will be still.
Right.
That's how I see it. That's the image I get. That's how I, because it's like when Almeen explains about how perception yields emotion and emotion yields perception.
Right.
So when...
I also feel... the silent mind in there too, like the dialogue is stilled and there's clarity with that, comes from that.
Yes, yes.
Good.
The last one, meticulously cultivate the self-nurtured reservoir of fulfilled contentment and unshakable well-being.
Oh, that's a big one.
Yes. Meticulously cultivate the self-nurtured reservoir of fulfilled contentment and unshakable well-being. So we really need to take good care of ourselves.
Yeah.
And even make a reservoir of it.
And even... But you know what? I just, when you were reading that, I had the image of, you know, when you're on the airplane and... the, you know, air hostess is going through the drill of the, you know, emergency exits. It's always put the mask on yourself first before you can help anybody else.
Yeah.
Right? So that was the image I was getting when you were reading that. It's like, you know, when we take care of ourselves, we nurture our own being, we honor ourselves and, you know, that automatically then, by living that, it is helping everybody else. And You know, we're creating, what we want with infinite intent. I just feel that.
So,
you know what's interesting, Malu, about those stones?
Stones? What's that?
What's interesting about the tones that you just read?
Yeah.
I actually pulled one. I thought, let's pull a rune for the show. And the one I picked was taking self-responsibility.
Oh, how about that?
The empowering perception of the environment as an expression of the self. So that goes wonderful with...
It does.
The tones of responsibility. Wow. I love life synchronicities. I find it's
incredible.
Yeah, it's a fun.
So can I ask you, did you cut them and laminate them, or did you get the set from Russia?
No, I haven't yet. I have not gotten to making my own yet, so it's still just on a piece of paper. Let me pick one. Yeah. So, no, I haven't. Have you made some? No,
I haven't.
No.
I haven't had the chance to do that yet, but I wanted to make them.
I know.
Yeah.
Me too.
I made my Kivesta cards, five years ago, something like that, and it actually took a long time. And there's quite a few rooms here, 672, so it's going to take a little while.
Yes, it will. But I think Spiritual Journeys is going to have, because the decks that they had all sold out. So I hear through the grapevine that they are supposed to be made available again soon.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully by the time, the webinars start, that we can have them. And even though it's not necessary for the webinars, but... it would be nice. It would be nice to have our own deck. So for anyone who's feeling the call, there is still time to set up to join the rune initiations that's being held in Ohio next week, run by Jan. And you can contact her, jan@almeen.net. She can give you all the information. I think right now it's $600. And it's 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So it should be great. But you still have time if you feel called. Or, if you are called to it, you can also still sign up for the webinars. They begin July 25th. Yes, 25th. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure we will have some wonderful things to share from that too. And
I really look forward to it.
Oh my gosh, me too, Malu. I'm really looking forward to it. Is there anything else there in the book that is jumping at you? Okay.
There are seven perceptions to clear the membranes that separate the chakra fields.
Okay.
For example, I could read those.
Yeah, please. And now, is this the same as the Sabahut? It feels like we're tying in with the Sabahut.
It is tied in with the Sabahut, but it's not the same.
It's not the same, yes.
Not completely, because now I can't remember the perceptions and the insights with the Sabahut, but there are so many tones and principles and...
Yeah.
And some of them tie in together, and they remind me of something that, and then I can't exactly remember where I have seen this before, this sort of version.
Yeah.
You feel that sometimes too?
Yes,
absolutely, yeah. Yeah, so I don't think it's the exact, but it ties in with the Sabahut, and the Sabahut is also a preparatory state or an exercise you can do, which will prepare the chakras for clearing them and for unifying them when working with the runes. And that's also in the book, by the way.
Oh, lovely. Okay.
Yeah, so that's nice.
Great. Yeah.
Mhm. You want, should I
read them? Yes, please.
Okay, so the first one. The seven fields of perception are the seven stages of transcendence, which is the ability to rise above circumstances in a given reality by moving into another.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was what we were talking about before. You can shift dimension or shift, you know, from one field to the next. You know, you can transcend it. So this becomes possible when it's when you clear the membranes, so they're not matrices anymore. So, okay, perception two. There is no such thing as eternity that stretches either before or behind us. All that has been or will exist is present in the moment as an endless sea of potential.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, so there is no linear time, right?
Yeah, so. No past, no future.
No past,
yeah.
Number three, the wayshowers of the world have been the ones to challenge the matrices of existence as they spearhead the evolution of existence. The matrix protects its boundaries like an electric fence, repelling the challenger with opposition. The ability to transcend between the seven quantum fields or dimensions without their separating membranes causing hardship, is to become less dense through surrender and to effortlessly move through them. Density is caused by resistance to life.
Yeah. Also causes aging. Resistance to life. Yeah.
So, so it's a little bit, you know,
there's a lot of information in there. Like, it's very metaphysical, would you say?
It is.
Yeah. Which we love. Thank you, Omi.
Think about it.
Yeah.
Think about it a little bit. But yeah. Challenging the matrices and challenging the belief systems and trying to change it and la, la, la. You know, we actually, you know, it will hit us right back in the face because that's what matrices do.
Yeah.
So. Gives us a position. It would be so nice when this is not the case anymore.
I know.
You can actually flow through it and just transcend it, or just, okay, fine, I'll go to another reality. You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so perception four. The purpose of a membrane becomes distorted into a dictatorial matrix laden with information by our belief systems. The purified membranes of existence become the eardrum that vibrates and articulates the communications of the infinite.
Wow.
Mm.
Do you find, though, Malu, it's an ongoing journey to clear belief systems?
Yeah.
You think, oh, I don't have any more belief systems, and then one pops up. Oh, hello.
Yes. It's been going on for years, hasn't
yes.
it?
Yeah.
I don't know how we can be in this world without having a belief system or beliefs about something.
Yeah.
Because then we wouldn't have the physical experience, I think.
Yeah.
If we didn't have, because we have to think it into place or think it into reality or to manifest it reality.
But it's I guess delving into the unknowable.
Mm-hmm. But if you could stay in the unknowable, would you even have a physical experience?
I think we could.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't either. I'm just thinking, you know, the belief.
Yeah.
Or thinking something makes it there. So if you're not, well, thinking and believing is, of course, not the same. But if you don't, if you don't have a belief about something or don't have a belief.
Yeah, like you don't, if you don't believe, you know, water is wet and you're in the water, you won't get wet, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or if you don't believe the house is there, it's not there.
Yeah.
So, okay, that could be an interesting talk about that. So, yeah. Should I Yes. Should I read the next? Okay, so this is number 5. I embody oneness by knowing all of existence to be within myself, permeated by unified fields of communication.
Mm-hmm. We live that one.
What, sorry?
I say we live that one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Perception 6. I am the never-ending supply of resources generated by the dynamic interaction of structure and flow, like hydroelectric power generation.
There's a similar one in the Angel God ceremony for regeneration, mm-hmm. similar to that. That when if I'm feeling really tired or, you know, drained, I will say I am self-contained energy production, and just like really feel that, like I'm connected to infinite source, and just really connect to that constant. You know, I make my own resources.
Yeah.
It really does help.
Yeah, I remember when Almin, that was in Genghis as well, when she explained this about the hydroelectric power generation, like in a bathtub.
Yeah.
Milk water runs out. That's the kind of movement, the spiraling movement that is sort of fluid, but yet it's structured.
Yeah.
In a certain
way. Yeah.
So that was the perpetual alchemy and, you know, stuff like that, once you talked about that.
Great.
Okay. So the last one is a bit long.
Okay.
So I'll read it. The membranes between dimensions and the membranes around the body's individual chakras are like soundproof glass. They let light through, but sound waves bounce off. The heart sends white light combined with instructions for the chakras on what they should emit through the arteries. The chakras then download the information they have received, and their codes are then carried via the veins back to the heart and pineal. The codes are embedded in the white light, which can communicate with all colors. The pineal sends its own information and the collective mental imprints of the chakras back to the heart. The feelings of all chakras combined with the mental imprints collected and sent by the pineal form an alchemical equation. The equation is the instructions that are carried back to the chakras for them to act upon. The dynamic balance of the chakras' input and output provides an ongoing energy source for the body, revitalizing it. When this loop is broken, weight gain, low vitality, and stagnant blood occur. The great gifts of consciousness that the full functioning of our chakras bestow are of inestimable worth. Thoughts fall into the reservoir of the heart and act upon the substance of things hoped for. Almin said that in 1997.
Wow.
Yeah, so the last one is actually just, or not just, but it's actually understanding how the information sort of... information goes around.
Quite the infrastructure.
It is. Yeah.
The way it travels and yeah, mm-hmm. like it's so. It almost seems so complex.
It is. I find it a bit complex too.
And at the same time, it's, you know, like. You can connect with it and see it, and wow! But it's good to know, like clear the chakras. It's very, like, you know, it's really important.
Hmm. Yeah.
So, our homework for the week, Malu. clear our chakras. But you know what? We are just at the end of our show, my love.
Okay.
Believe that. Yes. So as we said, we won't be here next week, but we will be back the following week, and we'll hopefully have wonderful insights and miracles and magic to share from our Ohio retreat. And we look forward to seeing whoever is there. We look forward to seeing you. Thanks for listening. Praise, love, gratitude, and trust. Thank you, Malou, for an amazing show and for all your wonderful insights and perceptions.
Thank you too, Denise.
Good night.
Good night.